So I don't know if you can tell, but I'm pretty excited. God is good. This morning's message is our first in the Christmas season, and it is entitled Hope in Difficult Circumstances. Church, I want to let you know this morning, not only can you have hope, but you have hope, and his name is Jesus. Oh, write that down. Oh, that's so good. Did that not just hit you right in the gut, right? Not only can you have hope, but you have hope. His name is Jesus. There is a hope that we can hold on to, not just yearn for. There is a hope that we can have positioned in our lives as sustenance in every situation. On this first week of the Christmas season, we want to focus on hope, and we will jump back into Heartstrong Season 5 in January. But as we journey through this Christmas season, I encourage you not only to take notes, but to really make a decision in your heart to say, this year, hope will be a testament of where I stand. That hope will be something that will never lose its value. Let it be something this year that shines brightest under any challenging circumstance that may come. Maybe you're here today and this season, this year is closing in hopelessness. Can I encourage you this morning? It's not true. Amen. You are not hopeless. For you have the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross and rose again for each and every one of us, that we could stand and say, I may not know where life is going. I may not know how these things are going to work out. I may not know what direction I'm going to have to take tomorrow, but I know that I know that I know that God is with me. And if God is with you, you have hope. It's not hopeless. It can be hard, it can be challenging, but it is not hopeless. We exercise hope every day. Maybe you're like me and every day you open your bank account to see, is there a mystery donation? Or maybe you go to Tim Hortons and you order that 12-pack of Timbits and you are the type of person who you're like, let's just see, 13? 13 Timbits? How many of you have ever got a box of Timbits with like 13 in the box? I had a 15 Timbit box one day, church. I'm telling you, I just knew. I knew it was a good day. I knew it, right? 15 Timbits, 2 extra chocolates. Oh, come on. It was amazing. Oftentimes when we exercise hope, it exerts itself in a what if type of exercise, right? Walking into different situations and hoping that things are going to work out better than you expected, hoping that things would move in a different direction. But the hope that is found in the Bible is a little different. One of the ways that we can show hope is through the classic illustration of a jug or a bottle or a cup of water. Now, all of us will see this cup in one of two ways. It's either half full or it's half empty. And I'm not going to ask who's who this morning, all right? Time will tell. It'll all play out. But I was actually talking to my youngest son, Miles, this morning about this illustration. And he said, you know, Dad, sometimes I'm both. I'm like, I know, buddy. I know. He goes, sometimes, like, the cup is half full. And I can't wait to see what's going on. He goes, but sometimes it's half empty. And a lot of times when we're looking at this, if we're honest, whether we're on the optimistic side of things or the pessimistic side of things, the desire is to say, how can we move it beyond half? How can we add more water? What can we do in our day? And if we're hopeful, we're not only asking how we can move it a little bit, but how we can shift it to overflowing. Church, I want to encourage you this morning that the hope that we have in Christ is not something that we discuss, but it is alive. Yeah. It's alive. And he walks with us, and he talks with us, and he calls us his own. See, our hope is not simply an idea. Our hope is not something that we walk into every day wondering if things are going to work out. Our hope is a person. Peter says this in 1 Peter verses 1 to 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. Church, hope has a name, His name is Jesus. It's the outflow of that presence of the Holy Spirit inside each and every one of us. Christmas hope isn't merely concerned with whether we see the glass filled half full or half empty. It's not even concerned with how we can fill up the glass to overflowing. What the hope is that we speak of in Christmas is found in the nativity story in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me this morning. I'm going to read it for you, and if you have your Bibles, you can read along with me. It won't be on the screens. One of the things that I actually love to do when people are reading scripture is actually enjoy closing my eyes and just allowing God's scripture to pour into me. And so I encourage you this morning, if you have your Bibles, read along. If not, just shut yourself in with God this morning. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 begins this way. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Hallelujah. Church, we have an ever-present hope. In this nativity scene, we are given an insight. Matthew tells it from the perspective of Joseph, while if you continue on reading in Luke will tell it from Mary's perspective. There's a revelation in a challenging circumstance. If you're here this morning and that is exactly what it is that you need, I want to encourage you this morning that I believe that God wants to speak through his son's story straight into your life. Joseph found himself being confronted with just a small bit of news that his betrothed was pregnant. Just a small bit of news, right? I don't know if any of you have ever been engaged before, but it would be a shocking revelation to have Mary come to you and say, Joseph, you need to sit down. I'm pregnant. Now, if you haven't gone through health class in school before, Joseph would have had many more questions than he did answers. Mary and Joseph were not married at this point in the story. And as not being married, and it's noted in scripture that Joseph was a just and a holy man, they had not come to know each other. They had not sealed the deal. And so for Mary to come to Joseph and say, Joseph, I'm pregnant, Joseph would have said, pause. Now we know the story. If you don't know the story and you have a Bible in front of you, you can read the story. In a short few verses, even as we read today, we see how God will show up in the midst of this. But can we just take a second this morning to put ourselves in Joseph's feet? Walking through Heartstrong has been such a blessing for this church. If you're visiting today, we're on a 3-year journey as a church walking through the Bible. And we've worked our way through Matthew and Mark and Luke and John starting in last September. And this year we found ourselves right in the middle of the beginning of the Old Testament. And the book of Leviticus and the book of Deuteronomy are very clear when it comes to how Israelite men and women are to live. Joseph would have known all of these regulations. Mary as well would have been aware of what coming to her soon-to-be husband would have meant for her in announcing her pregnancy. If you read in Luke, you already understand that Mary isn't surprised about this pregnancy. She is actually delivering to Joseph a message that she has already heard from God. That this is what God is doing. But Joseph has not had this revelation yet. And so he is confronted with a very challenging piece of information. loving Mary and wanting to be just, he goes back to the Leviticus laws that he has been taught. And the only just thing to do is found in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 19. It says that Joseph, hearing this, does not respond in anger. He does not respond in frustration. There may have been questions, but we are not given insight into what those were. It says that he responded in this way, not wanting to disgrace her publicly, he decided to divorce her secretly. Joseph finds himself in this challenging situation, and the most hopeful thing that he can look to do in his situation is to honor Mary, to honor the way of the Israelite people, and so to quietly and not publicly disgrace Mary, he begins to go down the path of divorce. Again, at the height of this, there is a hope that this situation will be removed from him the only way that he knows how. But church, I want to encourage you that when we are walking through challenging times, it is not the quick exit, hello, the desert in 40 years. Yeah. It is not always the quick exit that God has in store for us. Our hope is not only to get to the end of that challenging circumstance. Our hope is who? It's not a circumstance. It's not a thing. It's not an end result. It is not removal from a certain situation. Our hope is not even the quieting of the storm. Hallelujah. Our hope isn't even the manna from heaven, meeting our need in the desert. Our hope is Jesus. See, Moses or Joseph and Mary, they're confronted with these incredible opportunities to see the Lord. They're given these incredible visitations, and this is extremely important because this wasn't the normal circumstance of the Israelite people at the time. If you were not a leader of the nation, if you did not find yourself in the Levite priesthood, it was actually very difficult to have these close and intimate encounters with the Lord. When God appears to Joseph and Mary, he is declaring something new is happening. And church, I believe in this Christmas season that God wants to meet with you here today to declare to you that something new is happening. What if we as a church, whether we're online today or in this place, what if we walked out in 2024 and never thought about hope the same way again? This is one of the ways that our light can shine in the world. Hallelujah. Yeah. See, our culture has an idea and a perception of what hope looks like. We've already discussed how easy it is for us to also follow suit, right? Are you getting 15 Timbits? Listen, you can hold on to that hope, okay? No. But it's so interesting how when we read through Scripture, it actually as believers, as people who follow the Lord, that our Scripture would tell us that hope for Christians is not a concept. It's a person. Hope for Christians is not a desire for a certain result. It's Jesus Christ. Our hope is not this expectation of what we do not understand or this miraculous coming of something that may happen. Our hope is already known. If you find yourself in a challenging circumstance, if you find yourself in a desert season, I want to encourage you, just as the disciples found out as the storms are raging around you, that hope is with you in the boat. Yeah. He's with you in the boat. Joseph and Mary are about to discover this hope for the very first time. Come on. How beautiful is that? Isaiah 7, 13 to 14 says this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. See, the virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel." It is one thing to believe that God can. It is one thing to hope that God might move. It's another thing to understand that he already has. That God has sent hope to this world in the form of Jesus Christ. And now each and every one of us can stand on this, and that hope is anchored by who God is. Church, we can trust in the Lord. That he will never leave us or forsake us. That he will be with us in and out of every season. In Joseph's life, he doesn't understand what it is that's about to take place, but he is about to be so, so blessed. To be able to be not only released to enter into this incredible circumstance, but also to stand and bear witness to his son who would grow and give testimony and begin to completely change and redefine who the Father truly is. This is the God that we serve. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 to 21, it says this, "But after he had considered these things, being divorced, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in the dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" Moses finds himself in a dark place. He finds himself with a lot of questions. Where do we go from here? I'm not even married to Mary yet, and she presents this information. I want to honor her, but I also need to move forward in what it is that God has called us to live out. He finds himself in the midst of this dark situation. And so as he ponders these things, it says that the angel appeared to him in a dream. So not only is the situation dark, but now Joseph has closed his eyes and entered into just a realm of complete darkness. And what happens in the midst of darkness? Light. The Lord appears to Joseph in a dream. Hopelessness can also be often attributed to darkness. Yet in following Jesus, we must learn to discern what is holy from unholy, what is light from what is darkness. As Joseph sleeps in literal darkness, but darkness for Joseph is only a backdrop for what God is about to do. God moves in the midst of all of this darkness, and the angel of the Lord speaks a word, Jesus. Speaks a word, hope. John describes Jesus coming into the world like this, John chapter 1, verses 4 to 5. "Light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it." Hallelujah. I just sense from the Holy Spirit that there are people here today that the darkness has become so overwhelming that you are wondering if God is even in the story at all. And I want to encourage you today that God overcomes the darkness, that the light will pierce through the darkness. Even those children today, as they led us in that worship song and were so enthusiastic in their actions, I'll tell you right now, I know that they were nervous because I've been in that upper room when they're doing those actions and screaming at the top of their lungs. Like just take it. Like, they wanted to honor you and do so well that they didn't take their eyes off of the actions for 1 minute. They know those actions. I've seen them do spins and they're throwing their hands up and singing so bright. Church, sometimes when we're looking for light, we have to look beyond our circumstance. One of the things that I've really felt as a theme all the way through this season, and something that God has just continued to not only rest in my heart, but also in the heart of our congregation here in Kanata, I've heard it repeated many times. Church, you are not called to walk this road alone. Amen. That in times of darkness, God has surrounded you with others who will shine Jesus' light. Hallelujah. May we always encourage one another to take another step, to pray another prayer, to believe for another day, to remind one another that if we're still here, God's not done yet. This is the God that we serve. He is the hope beyond hope. He is hope incarnate. Moses or Joseph doesn't understand. You can tell I've been talking about Moses a lot, right? I've referenced that guy like 3 or 4 times today. Joseph does not fully know what it is that God is about to do. But God knows your story. God knows where it is that he is going to appear. Church, there are times in our lives where just as Joseph, even though he wasn't aware of what he was doing, where he went into that moment of sleep, that moment of rest, he quieted his mind. He took that moment to say, I don't know where this is going to go, but I know that I need to rest. Today, in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your circumstance, can you just take a breath? And what if God would speak into that silence? In Matthew chapter 1, verses 23 to 25, it says, he woke up and he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son. And he named him Jesus. This Christmas, hope does not merely ask us to have a more optimistic view. God is not simply asking us to look at our circumstance or at that jug of water and say, you know what? Maybe it is half full. He is inviting us to not only brainstorm how we can fill the cup ourselves, it's a story of what it is that we can rest on. That no matter what it is that the jug of water looks like, God is the one holding your glass. He is the one who is in charge of your story. The biblical word for hope is elpida, which translated as the weaker English word hope actually means profound certainty. God bless English, but it really misses it sometimes, doesn't it? Elpida, translated in English as hope, biblically means profound certainty. Joseph did not have just a wish, did not have just a, well, maybe. As the angel of the Lord spoke, Joseph was able to stand on profound certainty. Christmas is the story of light shining into the midst of the darkness. And that is our prayer as a pastoral staff for you this Christmas season, that light would pierce every corner of darkness. Amen. And maybe God is calling you to do the same for those who walk alongside you. Church, what if this Christmas season we no longer just hoped that our friends and family would come to know Jesus? But what if we declared Jesus into their lives? Because he is hope. Amen. And we can be certain of who? Of him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Church, God is with us. He is Emmanuel. I love that Life Center, at least for as long as I've been attending, have declared every Christmas season, God with us. That declaration, that reminder for this entire month, that not only was his name, but it was his person. God is with us. We have a profound certainty in Christ because it's who he is, our living hope. This morning as you came in, you would have received your communion elements. Communion is one of my all-time favorite times. I'm going to ask you to grab those elements. If you didn't receive them, if you can put your hand up and just keep it all the way up there, our incredible welcome team will come by and deliver one of those to you. Since getting this headset, my life has been radically changed. Look at this. I can open these things. God is good. God is good. He knows. Not only do I like preaching with my hands, but it makes communion so much easier. Church, the communion table is such a blessing. This is not a ritual that we perform. It is not simply something that we place at the beginning of the month to kind of follow through. This is our opportunity to meet with God at his table. This is our opportunity as a church collected together to say, come, let us be with Jesus. Let us remember what it is that he did on the cross. This Christmas season, how fitting is it that it's December 1st? We're kicking off Christmas. We're kicking off that understanding of the declaration that Jesus is coming. But we also get to take a moment this morning and pause and remember, not only did he breathe his first, but on the cross, he breathed his last. Declaring, it is finished. 3 days later, God refilled those lungs. Come on. 3 days later, God refilled those lungs. And the stone was rolled away. And now each and every person here, each and every one of us, upon the declaration that he is our Savior, upon the declaration that he is the Son of God, taking a moment to repent, each and every one of us can have God refill our lungs as well. Amen. To have our sins washed under his blood. God is with us, and he is our Savior. In 1 Corinthians, Paul speaks this to the church. It says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Before we do this today, let us remember hope, our Savior, Emmanuel. Let's pray. So God, this morning, I ask, Lord Jesus, that if there's any unrepentant sin in our lives, that we would take this moment, confess to you, God, any action, any thought, any word that hasn't represented you, Lord, forgive us. God, clothe us once again in your righteousness. God, wash each and every one of these sins under your blood. And for those of us who are about to partake of this bread, God, may we do it in right relationship with you. God, I thank you for the collected church. God, I thank you for each and every life that is represented here today. And God, we declare a fresh reminder and understanding that hope is not a concept, but it's a person. It's you, Lord. You are our ever-present living hope. And so today we declare that our hope does not rest in an idea or a theological statement. Our hope rests in the one who hung and died on the cross for our sins, that you rose again on the third day. And so today, God, as we partake, we declare our thankfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake this morning. Now, this is the part that gets me every time. Verse 25, "In the same way, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood.'" That sacrificial system that we've read about in Heartstrong comes to fulfillment at this table through the blood of Christ, the once and for all sacrifice. Jesus spoke to his disciples, and Paul shares this to the church in Corinth as we read about it today. "Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." How many times did the disciples meet together to celebrate this moment of communion? And declaring this over the church, over the way, over these new believers, and they would proclaim what Jesus had spoken to them. "Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me," their teacher, their friend, our Savior. This is the Lord that we serve. "For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Our hope voluntarily walk to the cross to suffer and die for each and every one of us. And church, he's coming back again. Let's partake. Before I invite Lily to the stage to close our service this morning, I want to take a moment to pray over those in challenging situations. Lily is going to share with us how our prayer team is going to be at the front. We've also asked them to bring with them anointing oil today. And so if you're here this morning and this message of hope, it's great to hear and it's great to say, but it can be hard to fix your house upon that, can't it? But this is what God has called us to do. When we read through Scripture, it's one thing to read it, it's another thing to live it out. Amen?
Amen?
But this is where the tires really meet the road. Is to remind ourselves that we didn't come today to hear a good message, to see some crazy talented kids do actions that I couldn't possibly even try. We came today to be reminded that we are people of transformation. That God has entered our story, and we were never the same. And so if he's done it before, he can do it again. And so whatever it is that you're walking through, I want to take a moment. I'm going to pray. And I would encourage you, if you find yourself in the midst of darkness on every side, be reminded today that there is a light and his name is Jesus. And there is a profound certainty that he will show up in the midst of your story. And so allow our prayer team to pray that over you today. But let me speak it for those online and for those in our midst before Lily comes to close our service. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we are here today to celebrate the birth of your Son. And God, I thank you for the reassurance that you gave both Mary and Joseph as you included them in your story. God, each and every one of us that are present here, we are here because you have called us and included us in your story. And anyone within the sound of my voice that doesn't know you yet, that doesn't know you as Savior, that has not had the opportunity to profess that you are God, Lord, you are calling them today to be a part of your story. And so, God, if we are called to be a part of your story, then we can have that profound certainty that you will show up once again in your story. God, thank you for our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that today, God, that you are breathing fresh life into this room. And Lord, I pray for anyone in the sound of my voice that has been experiencing darkness, that has been experiencing, Lord Jesus, a room with no windows and no doors, where there seems to be no exit. God, would you make a way? Would you speak this morning, God? And allow the church to be the church, to come together, to walk hand in hand and step with one another. And so, God, for the prayer team today, I pray that you bless them through the symbolism of that anointing, oh, Lord God. Bless each and every one of us that come forward. And as we go today, God, may we recognize that if you are the living hope and you're alive inside of us, then you have called us to share this living hope with the city. So this Christmas season, God, not only are you with us, but we take you into our neighborhoods, into these streets, into our workplaces, into our homes, into our schools, to remind each person that doesn't know you yet that God is with them too. In Jesus' name, amen.